Good morning, everyone. That's usually something Lawrence says. And as I don't want to take away from the service, I was going to get an iPad or a phone and record of all of us saying, good morning, Lawrence. Anyways, he'll hear it on the live stream. Isn't this amazing? All these youth. So I know we don't make public declarations like this, but I will be moving Rose from the back up to sit with these wonderful youth, because this is just exciting. This is so cool. This morning, Lawrence is away. Please be praying for Lawrence and Lori. They're taking some time with family, Lori especially, the next couple weeks. And Lawrence is actually in Capenry the next week teaching. They have been sick. They were sick for 2 days and actually had to take some time away from the office to recover, which is very unlike Lawrence, if you know him. So lift them up, keep them in your prayers. And this morning, things are going to look a little different. As much as I desire to preach and use the skills that I've learned at my Mill experience, this is a youth Sunday, not a me Sunday. And we're going to keep it that way. And I'm going to get off the stage and let God shine through these students and the abilities he's given them, the gifts that he has given them, and I'm very excited for what we have in store this morning. First, we're going to start things off a little differently. Hudson and Lukey, can you come? We're going to have some scripture reading, and we're going to read the passage that is going to be spoken on this morning by these two gentlemen, and then we will dive into our message portion of this morning.
Please flip to Acts 8:26, or if you don't have a Bible, it's on the screen. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. There was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated on a chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the scripture said to Philip, and the spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip went up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he not opens his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generations, for his life was taken away from the earth?"
Verse 34. And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus. And as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea.
Thank you, gentlemen. At this time, I'm going to invite Noah Jansen to come up this morning. And I'm going to give him a little introduction. I'm going to pray for him. And then we will let him bring the word to us this morning. Just so you know, Noah is going to bring contextualization to our passage this morning, give you some information about this Acts chapter 8, 26 to 40. And then followed by Noah, we're going to have three youth testimonies from this passage, how God's been showing them showing them things from Acts 26 to 40, and how they've been studying this and what God has been doing in their lives. And I'm just so excited for you to hear that. Noah is a fellow student of mine. Third year, we've made it. A few weeks, we get to graduate together, and I'm so excited that you get to hear him share before he takes off back to his home. Let me pray for you, brother, and I'll give it over to you. Heavenly Father, be with Noah. Thank you for him, for his faithful servant heart as he's served in deeper the last 3 years. Thank you for his willingness to come bring your word to us this morning. Calm those nerves and bless him for his ministry and all his time at Miller. Thank you for him being here this morning. In your name, amen.
Good morning. So I'm here to give the contextualization for the story of the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts. So I'll just get into it. In the book of Acts, we come across the story of the Ethiopian eunuch at a very curious time in both the story of Acts and the story of Scripture as a whole. Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross, and then he was buried, was resurrected, and then 40 days later, he ascended. And we come after this commission that Jesus gives to go and baptize all nations, making disciples of them. And so we have this command that they would go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and then the ends of the earth. So what we have in Acts, in the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, is this transitional period. It takes place just on the precipice of the gospel entering the lands outside of Jerusalem in Judea. Acts 8:1, or just earlier in the passage, it describes the mass persecution that followed the stoning of Stephen. This newly formed church, now persecuted by the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, are pushed out of the city. So, as they're pushed out of the city, they all take the gospel message that they have, and they send it out, and they start preaching the gospel in lands beyond Jerusalem. You see, this persecution that had been so painful for them was actually a method that the Lord was forcing them out of the land and into places where they could now share the gospel with others. It's helping to push it out of Jerusalem and Judea and out of the pure blood Jews into these Samaritans who are really only half blood Jews. Philip himself is a man who fled, and he was one of the seven disciples chosen to be servants of the city and servants of waiting on tables. As he goes from Jerusalem, he's simply bursting with the need to tell all those around him, everyone he meets, about the salvation that is in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. In verse 5, he fulfills another portion of the prophecy. In verse 5 of chapter 8, he proclaims the gospel in the city of Samaria, which is a northern city just a few dozen miles north of Jerusalem. And this city, they come across a man known as Simon the Magician. Simon is a man who tried to steal the gospel for himself by buying the Holy Spirit. Simon is harshly rebuked for trying to keep the Holy Spirit all to himself, or limit it, rather, by access with money. The story of the Ethiopian eunuch follows this as a man who would have been abundant in riches, who likewise, like Simon, could have bought the Holy Spirit, but he himself had no access to it. Simon was a man who had little claim to being a Jew, but the Ethiopian eunuch was a man who had no claim to being a Jew. While Simon had his half ancestry, the Ethiopian wasn't Jewish, and he wasn't able to enter into the promised land that was given to the people of Israel. The only thing the Ethiopian had was the fact that he was a convert to Judaism. But before that, let's talk about Philip. Philip is a very unique character. As I said, he was one of the seven disciples chosen to wait on tables to serve widows, orphans, the poor in chapter 6 of Acts. But apart from that, we don't know a ton about him. He was a man who was skilled in evangelism, and he was well aware of the scriptures. Later, Paul comes across Philip and stays at his house in Caesarea for many days. He is said to have four unmarried daughters who prophesied. Regardless of whatever can be known about him, we know that Philip himself is a very regular man. He's shown to be of good repute, faithful, willing to follow the Holy Spirit, but other than that, nothing special. He's not some man who was trained under Gamaliel like Paul. He's not prophesied from before, but he's simply a man who's following the Lord's leading. How he lived, how he served, and how he was led, he was according to the blessing the Lord had given him. So, who is this man who I earlier said was such an outsider to the faith? The Ethiopian eunuch was a man who lived as a court attendant in the land of Ethiopia, just a few hundred kilometers south of Jerusalem. In 34 AD, when this story takes place, the queen of Ethiopia was a woman named Candace. It was not unusual for eunuchs, in antiquity, for eunuchs, who were customarily harem attendants, to rise to positions of influence. And this is what we see with the Ethiopian eunuch. It says that he was the head of the treasury of the court of Candace. This means he would have managed all of the queen's funds, allocated, spent money on certain things for the royal house and for the governmental position. So he was a man who was able to make many decisions, even on his own. Not only that, but he had the ear of the queen and of the people. He was a man very high in Ethiopian society. Now, him being a Jewish convert wouldn't have been super awkward. There were some Jews who lived in the northern portions of Ethiopia, and it's likely that he probably could have come across these Jews preaching about their God Yahweh to him just by going around his land. Now, however, while he was able to worship at the temple in Jerusalem, he was barred from the rites, the festivals, and the assembly of the Lord, the formal assembly of the Lord, in Judaism. This is because he was a eunuch, and that means he was marred in his body. Deuteronomy 23, verse 1, prevents him from being able to enter the assembly of the Lord. Not only that, but he was a Jewish. And Jewish people, though they were allowed to take proselytes in, which is what he was, a man who was converted to Judaism, they didn't often treat them well. They didn't often allow them into the courts and the central society. He was an outcast of outcasts, so distant from being able to partake in the religion of Yahweh. What is notable about this man is that he was very interested in Yahweh. He didn't even let the rock and the rattle of the chariot that he was on keep him from reading the Holy Scriptures. On his way to go to the temple to worship, he came back and was continuing to learn more about the God whom he so desperately wanted to be a part of, the community he so desperately wanted to join because of the God who so faithfully loved him in the Scriptures. This Ethiopian, reading from Isaiah 53, was unable to understand what the passage meant, however. He said these famous words, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" How can he understand? How can he know? So Philip, he comes alongside him to explain the Scriptures more clearly. Where his own discernment fails, where the Ethiopian is unable to accomplish or understand on his own, it's the faithfulness of some who come alongside and teach the eunuch of the material. You know, at this time, there was no New Testament for the disciples or the apostles or the early Christian community to have. They relied purely on the testimony of seeing Christ and the Scriptures that had prophesied about him before. So this Old Testament message that had talked about Jesus, perhaps in a way that was more prophetic than anything else, was the only thing that this New Testament church had to bring people into the fold. And so Philip did that. He goes into the meaning of the Old Testament, and he brings the message of Jesus Christ to a man living on the fringes of Jewish society. Verse 36 records the eunuch looking upon the water, his chariot is going alongside, and faithfully saying, "Philip, what prevents me from being baptized?" It's that confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The eunuch took what he heard, what he said from Philip, and then took the message, internalized it, and knew, I must join this. But he said, what prevents me? And I just want to stop there for a second, because what prevents me, that language, this is a man so used to being excluded. The first thing he thinks of when he hears about the message of Jesus Christ, he thinks, what else will keep me from this? I've been barred from every other Jewish society. There's so many barriers in place for me to get to God. What else keeps me? Yet, Philip takes him and baptizes him. See, the insufficient nature of the old covenant led the man to assume that there has to be something that prevents him. However, the blood of Christ comes freely to all people. All can be saved through the power of Jesus Christ. All can join the people of God. As soon as the man who was formerly cut off from the assembly of the Lord heard about his Messiah, he asked to enter that assembly by baptism. And this is parallel to the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. See, now we've gone to Jerusalem and Judea, and now we're moving even beyond the land of Samaria. These people now, it's the ends of the earth. Now all can be let in. This is also parallel to the command in Acts 2:38 to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't want to leave you on a bad message about the Old Testament, thinking that it barred people from getting in. Because if the Ethiopian eunuch kept reading, he would come across chapter 56 in Isaiah. And this passage talks about how the eunuchs and the foreigners now have an inheritance greater and more imperishable than any children, any wealth, any property. This is the inheritance that the Lord will give to those in the covenant, in the new covenant to come. The Ethiopian eunuch, as it's said in history, didn't fail to use the unique position that he'd been given, even in his own home court. Being the treasurer, as I said, he has lots of opportunity to go and have a lot of influence and authority over people. People would trust him for wisdom and for guidance and for counsel. An Ethiopian tradition claims him as this country's first evangelist. He had such a large opportunity in his own home country, he brought many of his brethren, his home countrymen, to know the Lord. This was the Lord's method of allowing the Ethiopians to have a man of their own, a brother to show them the path and the nature that Yahweh provides for them to know him. Today, many trace their origins in their faith to this one faithful eunuch in Acts 28. So, pushing forward with these things in mind, I would love you to consider these things and be blessed by the testimonies to come. Thank you.
Thanks, Noah.
Yeah.
We clap because of the transforming work of the gospel in our lives, and I ask you to reflect on that right now as you think of what the Ethiopian eunuch went through, that transforming day when he got out of his cart, when he got baptized, and then Philip was taken away, and he rejoiced. I hope and I pray that you see our students today, how much they rejoice over the gospel. I'm going to invite Jared Peterson to come up here first. And I didn't tell the students this. We went over a different sequence. But when Jared's done, Kian, can you just come up? And then Ava. And then when Ava's finished, I'll come up and close. So good morning. Good to see you. Here you go.
Hello. I'm Jared. I'm a grade 11 youth student at Impact Youth, and today I will be sharing some of my testimony that relates to this passage and what God has been showing me through it in a couple of stories. So I'm just going to read some of the verses that kind of stood out to me, just kind of to start off. So I'm going to start in verse 26 to 31. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go to the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and he went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning in his chariot, seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go and join his chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come and sit with him. So my first story kind of starts when I was five, about this time of year in early March. The snow had just melted and the green of spring was just emerging. And my mom asked me what I wanted to do for my birthday because it was coming up at the start of March. And I said that I wanted to have a sledding party. And my mom kind of tried to suggest alternatives because there was rain in the forecast and it was not going to snow. But I insisted. And I said that I was going to have a sledding party because God told me that it was going to snow. And she tried not to discourage me in my childlike faith. But I still insisted. And in the next few days, it snowed 2 feet of snow. There was so much snow that our truck got stuck. And I was just reminded in Job 38, God says to Job, "Have you entered the storehouses of snow?" But the point is, God spoke to me. God, the God that created the universe, spoke to a naive little kid like me. Isn't that just amazing? Kind of like how God spoke to Philip, he also spoke to me. In verse 26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go towards the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.'" And again, in verse 29, "And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Rise, or go over and join his chariot.'" The next story I have that I was reminded of when I was reading this passage kind of relates to how God can use even me. He will put me in situations where I can share the gospel and my faith with someone, just like how God put Philip in a spot where he could share with the Ethiopian eunuch. A couple months ago in school, I was talking to a very friendly guy in my class. He's an immigrant from India. And I mentioned somehow that I believe there was two genders. And it came up that we both believe that God created the universe. And in the past couple months, every single day he's wanted to talk to me. And I've been able to share what I believe with him. And we talked about what we believe and the evidence, the scientific evidence for there being a creator. And he's in biology right now, learning about evolution. And we were just talking about how could somebody not see the amazing works of God? How can they not see the design, the engineering, And lately I've just been praying for him that he would come with more questions and be more curious about what I believe, and that I would be able to reflect Jesus to him. And it's kind of similar to how God, like the Spirit, was preparing the Ethiopian eunuch to for Philip to come, and he was ready. It says, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come and sit with him. The last thing I have to share that I was reminded of is how God is so big. He created everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And later, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Isn't that just amazing? Everything that we know, God created it. The hugeness of the universe, everything working together intricately. Life, the complexity, all working together. And he has a plan for all of it. Just like he planned out for Philip to go talk to the eunuch. And he has a plan for me. I don't have to be nervous about what am I going to do next year? How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to pay for that? Where am I going to work? God knows. And he has a plan. So my first story, I talked about how God told me it was going to snow. And it snowed. Kind of like how God said to Philip, "Rise and go." And my second story, God brought someone into my life that I could share what I believe with him, just like he brought the eunuch to Philip, or Philip to the eunuch. And lastly, God is so big, and he has a plan, just like he planned for Philip to talk to the eunuch about him. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Kian, and I am a grade 12 student here at Broadview Youth. Today, my focus for this passage will be on baptism and how the story of the Ethiopian eunuch relates to my testimony. I'd like to begin by giving a brief explanation of what baptism is. Baptism is a symbolization in which you are immersed in water, representing purification, repentance, and union with Christ's death and resurrection. It serves as a public declaration of faith in which you are dying to yourself and being brought into newness of life with Christ. It's an outward expression of an inward change, indicating that Jesus has transformed your life. I'm going to start reading in verse 36. "And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down, Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized." Baptism was something I struggled with for a long time. You see, growing up, I was a kid caught between two lives. On one side, I was a Christian. I did all the Christian things, had all the good Christian answers, and thought I was doing just fine, figuring life out on my own. However, on the other hand, I struggled with my identity. For me, my public image was everything. I wanted people to like me, I wanted them to look up to me, and I wanted them to adore me. This image, this concept I had of myself was beginning to become an idol in my life. To me, my faith was important, but I'm sad to say it was not as important as the picture I had of myself in my mind of my popularity and who I was becoming. I was scared to proclaim my faith at school for fear of judgment, for fear that people might think differently of me, think I'm weird, think I'm crazy. I always knew about baptism and that was something I wanted to do because in my heart, I still wanted to be a good Christian, and I wanted to do what was right for me and for my faith. I remained unbaptized for some time. In this period of time, my life took a few big hits. I firmly believe the Lord used this period in my life to humble my heart and help me to look up to Him and open my heart to Him. You see, what I thought was the center of my life was shattering. My image was crumbling and my popularity was gone. I felt like a nobody, that my life was without purpose, and it was at this time that my eyes were reopened. I discovered that my worth wasn't found in who I was as a person, but in my identity with Christ. I felt a tugging on my heart, felt the Lord pushing me towards baptism, but I was scared. I was wary to comply. You see, I didn't want to get baptized for two selfish reasons. Reason number one, because I'm absolutely terrified of public speaking. And I thought that getting baptized meant I'd have to stand in 400-something people and tell them about all the things I'd struggled with over the years. And for two, I was scared that once I went down to the beach to get baptized, I'd see a bunch of my non-Christian friends, and they would see me be involved in this so-called ceremony, and they'd think differently of me, thinking I'm weird or something. I believed that a blow to my already broken image would push me off the edge. The fact that the Ethiopian was ready and willing to respond to the gospel was not a work of Philip, however, a working of the Holy Spirit in that man's life. No man can bring someone to Christ. It is the Holy Spirit living in us and working through us that brings knowledge of God. One thing that we can do is plant a seed and be there to support and guide whoever it might be through this journey towards their eternity. We can offer ourselves as a vessel, just as Philip did, letting the Lord work through us to bring knowledge of His goodness to those we encounter. Then we can be praying as the Lord moves and works in their lives. Philip was an extremely effective evangelist because he knew how to flow with what the Holy Spirit wanted to do. He was truly led by the Spirit and not by his own whims and feelings. To link this to baptism, baptism should not be something we do out of selfishness, peer pressure, or just to saying we got baptized. It should be a Spirit-led decision to give up your old ways. This means giving up what you once were in order to pursue Christ fully. It may be letting go of certain things in your life that are holding you back, but I promise you it will be worth it. When the Ethiopian pointed out the water and said, "What is stopping me from being baptized?" this shows that he truly wanted to be baptized, to declare he recognized God's truth and he knew it was for him. If this is you today and you feel the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart, I suggest you listen. Don't do as I did and put it off for whatever reason. You can go talk to any of the pastors, either Lawrence, Rudy, or Chris, and they would love to help you through this journey. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. As the board says, my name is Ava Rutan. I'm also a grade 11 youth at Impact Youth downstairs. And yes, I'll be sharing my testimony. And I'm going to go off of two different parts. I mean, it's one super long part, but I'm going to break it in half. And yes, that'll kind of be the flow. The first part that I'll be talking about for my testimony is verses 26 to 30. And it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Kandake. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stand near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard this man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you were reading?" Philip asked. This part has always stuck out to me because in this passage, Philip shows a crazy lack of hesitation. He doesn't question God. He doesn't ask where he's going, what he's doing, when he'll get there. He doesn't wait for the eunuch to talk to him first or show any sign that Philip is welcome to intrude his reading. When God said go, he simply went, showing complete trust in God. This is something that I struggle with a lot. I am a natural overthinker, and so when God instructs me to do something, I will often hesitate a lot and overthink everything before obeying. An example of this is a few months ago, God had very clearly instructed me that I was supposed to share the gospel with some friends at church or friends at school, and I was like, "Great, this is awesome. I'm going to go do this." And then the next day, I got to school and I chickened out. And the next day, again and again. And this went on for an entire month. For an entire month, God had told me something, and I ignored it, and I just was too scared to do it. But finally, I think partially I was so annoyed at myself for not listening, but also God had finally just given me the strength that I needed for this, and I mumbled out the gospel to my friends, which was super cool, but also incredibly scary. The next part of the chapter that I want to read is verses 30 to 35. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with this very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. One of the ways that God is helping me overcome my fear of talking to others about my faith is by reminding me what they're missing. Much like the eunuch, my friends and others at school don't know God and don't always understand the Bible. In the start, it sometimes feels like they have everything or they're not interested or they just don't care. But once you really get to know them or even just sit around them enough, you can see the sin that governs their lives. With my friends specifically, I've seen how much they don't know the Bible, the gospel, or even a solid understanding of what Christianity is. Going back up to this example that I shared earlier, before I shared the gospel with my friends, I asked them, I said, "Do you guys even know what the gospel is or what I believe as a Christian?" And they had no idea. One friend was like, "Nope, I don't even know." The other person was like, "Yeah, isn't it like 10 statements you believe?" Oh my word, God, no wonder you asked me to share with them. They don't know. God has put me in a place where he can work through me to change this unknowing by obeying him and talking about him to my friends, demonstrating his love, praying for others, and ultimately trusting that God will make that real change in their life. Because, as both the people before me made very clear, we can't do it. This is definitely still a work in progress, and I am not perfect at obeying without hesitation. But God is gracious and is continuing to grow my trust in him to obey without always feeling totally in control or understanding everything. The part I want to finish with is just how God has put extra things in my life to help me with this. Sometimes it can become easy to make up excuses for not obeying God, and this is definitely true in my case. But God has put people in my life to encourage me and keep me accountable. These are people like my small group girls and my small group leader. This is people at church, at youth, at Awana. And it is a huge blessing to be around so many of these people who, like Philip in verse 35, can use straight scripture to share the truth with me and encourage and challenge me to be obeying God. And thank you.
Amen. That's just amazing. I just want to express how proud of our youth I am. We prayed before the service there, and I asked one thing, is that in this service, that the focus remains to make Jesus' name known and hold to that. That it's not about our performance, not about what we say, but making his name great. And I see that in those testimonies. I see that in Noah's proclamation of Scripture. And I'm just so thankful for all of you who are involved, in today's service. I am going to pass it over to the worship team, and then I'll come back up and give a little benediction to close our service out, okay?